last week we started a new series, and I have no time frame on this, which is kind of unusual. I'm just allowing God to kind of speak to me as we move forward. But it's called Mandatory Mindsets. And so what we want to talk about are our mindsets that are kind of like must, right? If we want to accomplish the things of God in our lives, these are things that scripturally we can look at and say, this is rather important, right? And it's beneficial to our walk. And if you're just kind of joining us for the first time and you're like, I thought I was at a recovery service, you know, this isn't what I'm looking for, is it? Well, it is, because we believe around here as you lean into the gospel and the truth of Jesus and scripture, and that what God reveals to you and all of that will help you in your recovery journey. So these are mindsets that help us to grow, right, in the things of God, but they're mindsets that help us to grow in freedom, right, from addiction, and to set aside and to set down these things that have kept us in a place of turmoil, right, and kept us from progressing in life. And so we're talking about these different mindsets. Last week, if you were with us, it was a long service. Sorry about that. And it was I got a little ahead of myself, but we were talking about the mindset of expectation, right? Because we come into this relationship with Jesus, or we step into the church, and we don't expect anything. And if we do expect something, it comes from a place of brokenness. I know for me, right, the things that I expected in the church was to be ridiculed, to be judged, and to be pushed aside, or maybe even pushed out the door because my life didn't look the way that I thought it should look, or they thought it should look, right? And there was this expectation of judgment. And so you probably have your own set of expectations, but we learn that the God has his, right? We have our truth, and then there's his truth, and we learn that we can expect what God promises in our lives, and there is a lot that God promises. And so if you missed last week, I encourage you to go back and look at that. And this week, we're going to talk about an expectation of spiritual growth. And kind of the anchor passage for all of this is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And Romans was written by Paul, and I love this particular set of passages, and it says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." And I love that first thing, right? Paul saying, like, give your bodies over to God because of what? Because of what he's done for you. And any of us that have journeyed with Jesus for any amount of time, we have a litany of things, right? This list that we can lay out of things he's done for us. One of the most notable, right, is he's saved us from eternal damnation. And that's pretty profound. But outside of that, there's blessing after blessing after blessing. As we lean into the things of God, we find that every good and pleasing thing, in fact, is a gift coming down from him. And so Paul's saying to the church in Rome, like, listen, give your bodies over to him as a living sacrifice. That's one where we daily submit to him and his will for our life because of what he's done for us. And then he moves in to verse 2, and he says this, don't copy. Say, don't copy. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Stop. Right? Today, in today's culture, it's really difficult to see where the broken world ends and the church begins, if we're being real, right? That all the things out there that we should be looking at and saying, man, this is a picture of a broken world, unfortunately, has become a picture of the modern day Christian, especially here and in the United States, right? That we're so far from that we've missed this. Instead of not copying the behaviors and customs of the world, we copy all of them, right? And it's hard to see where one begins and one ends. And Paul warns of this even then. This is like 2,000 years ago almost. And Paul's saying, don't do that. And I don't know if it's just this rebellious attitude we have. It's just broken people. But we say, what was that, Paul? Do that? Right? It reminds me of dealing with one of my children, right? When I say, hey, don't leave the door open when you go outside. And all six of them leave the door open when they go outside. And that's kind of how we operate now. But Paul says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And I love that because but it's like what we're saying about, right? He loves you as he finds you, but he loves you too much to leave you there, right? This is the sentiment that Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, that you can have this expectation coming into faith that if you actually submit your life to him, right? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. But lordship is making him that authority. And if you do that and you change your mind and you submit to him, he'll actually change you as a person. But we don't do that. Instead, we do the same things we've always done. We don't change any of our mindset. The only thing we change is our schedule. And the only part of our schedule we change is that hour on Sunday or that hour on Monday. And we come to church a little bit. And then we get upset at the church, at God's people, at God. Or we declare that this is all a sham, right? That there's no substance to it. Missing the fact that we actually didn't hold up our end of the bargain. We never made Jesus Lord of anything. We kept doing all the same things we were doing. That's why our life looks exactly the same way it always looked. I was so guilty of this. So guilty of this for many years. I wasn't raised in the church, but I technically got saved at 16 in military school. And I made zero effort to change anything about my life. They gave me a gift Bible after I raised my hand and did the things I did and got a piece of candy or whatever. And I got this Bible that to this day I have, and I've still never opened it. At this point, I'm just never going to open it, so I can always say that and use it as a sermon illustration. but I never read it. And then, you know, I kind of moved forward. And I was like, well, nothing changed. Nothing changed. I mean, I was, I guess, useless, right? And I never paid it no mind. And I just thought, well, this is garbage. The church is garbage. Christianity's garbage. But what did I do? Where was my effort? It was as if I looked at God and just viewed him as some type of genie or slot machine. And I put my prayer in, I raised my hand, and I pulled the lever, and I was supposed to have a changed life. But I didn't. Why? Because I still copied the behaviors and customs of this world. And that's what we do, and we do it time and time again. Paul's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Instead, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, right? This is where the mandatory mindsets come in, right? We have to know God's word. We have to know God. We have to begin to make him Lord. And there's a part of our life that doesn't align with the lordship of Jesus, we change our mindset. Our mindset changes our heart. A changed heart changes the life, changes us into a new person. It's scriptural. And if we lean into this, our lives change. So for years, I didn't get this. 16, I became a Christian, didn't change anything. Then I came back into the church in my early 20s, and I spent years in the church doing certain things, but never really leaning in and never changing any of the ways that I thought or what I believed, and nothing changed until it did. And the reason it did is I finally started to take these things to heart. And I stopped cherry picking and I stopped looking at what God was saying and deciding what I would follow and say, man, if God says it, I'm gonna do my best to be that and to do that and to believe that and follow that, right? Because God is either God or I'm God. And I didn't wanna be God no more. And so we have to have these mindsets of change. And so let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then, say then. Then you will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, if I were to ask you to raise your hands, who wants a good and pleasing and perfect life? I mean, we would have some hands shoot up all around the room, right? I want that, right? But the problem is that we want that. We want the results, but we don't want the effort. Can I let you in on a little secret? This was always meant to be hard. If it was easy, everybody would just do it, right? If it was easy, we wouldn't have to change anything. That would be easy, but actually, Jesus himself likened the faith to taking up our cross daily. The cross is a place of execution and torture. And we have it in our mind that, again, this was just gonna be a breeze, that we raise our hand, we put the prayer in, ching, jackpot, perfection. But no, it's work. In fact, it's hard work. In fact, everything that you want is on the other side of hard work, right? When we align ourselves with Jesus, when we lean into his word and we actually work to conform our lives to what he says, the things that we want are on the other side of that. Now, and I touched base on this last week, but in case you weren't here, I'm not talking about you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise all the days of your life and everybody's walking out with new Ford F-150s. No, what I'm saying is there's parts of our brokenness that God actually wants to change. That our faith isn't just about the afterlife, right? Where we go for eternity. There's a work that he wants to do today. He wants to make us into living epistles. And what that means is he wants our lives to resemble scripture, that we walk and live in a way that people that don't know God would come to know God, that people that don't know Jesus would want to get to know Jesus. And we miss that. And so we have to have these mindsets, mandatory mindsets, right? These things that we submit up here and we know to be true and we pursue them with everything. And when we finally get this, I'm telling you, momentum will be created in your life. The trajectory that you're on will change. I know this because I live this. where I was at and what I walked through. And all of these things were so much different at one point in time until I really began to cement this in my heart. And I miss it. I miss it so much all the time in so many places. But this is a picture of what we should do and what we should pursue. And so, again, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so what we want to do is examine some instances that God has given us a mandate, again, to change the way we think. And today, tonight, we're going to talk about having a mindset of growth, more specifically, a mindset of spiritual growth. That we should have a mind to grow. And many of you are probably like, yeah, I get that. But here's what I know statistically. That's not the case. And so you guys know this. I'm a numbers guy, so I'm gonna share some numbers for you. When we talk about spiritual growth, it's likened in the Bible to developmental stages, right? A newborn infant and that type of maturity. So that's the language I'm going to use in this. But one study revealed that 88% of believers have not advanced past the toddler stage, which is two steps up from the newborn stage. So when we talk about the development of Christians in the United States, this is a 2022 poll that not past the toddler stage. So if you were to liken that to, again, if you have children, a toddler, and then you have a 30 or 40-year-old toddler, that's not okay, right? But that's what we do, and we're like, God's not moving in my life. It's because, you know, you can barely walk. You're not actually doing anything. We weren't called to be spectators. We weren't called just to warm seats. That actually, again, the things of God and the things of God involve our recovery and our growth and our freedom, the things that we want. But we have to work towards them to achieve them. Just like children, they work towards growing and developing, right? We put them in school, they study. I remember watching my kids learn to walk. It was a challenge, right? There was a lot of failure involved, a lot of falling down, a lot of tears and those things as they pushed towards that. But eventually they went from crawling to walking and from walking to running and they've continued to progress. And you know, now we have teenagers and young adults and all of these things, but there was so much in that. And we forget that's the picture that Scripture gives us of our development in faith. And we don't put in the work. We don't put in the work, we don't achieve it. And then we get stuck in the same things. And you have people that have been in the church for 15 years that still struggle with the same brokenness they struggled with 15 years ago. And I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. We'll never be free of all of the sin and all the brokenness, but there should be a progression in our lives, right? Where we look more and more like Jesus. That's spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. And as we do that, as we walk that out, I'm telling you, these struggles in our lives become less and less and less. And so 88% of believers have not advanced past the toddler stage. 85% of believers pray once a day. More than one-third are not purposely setting aside time for prayer and are too often praying selfishly. So we have a whole generation, again, that don't really engage in prayer. And if they do, it's just self-centeredness. Only 2% of believers have reached the most mature stage. And 67% of this group still don't live as disciple-making, with disciple-making as their highest priority. We talked about that in our relationship series not too long ago. Even mature Christians still don't invest in other people. And so we have this epidemic going on of spiritually immature people. And so, again, the church isn't living out its purpose. We're not experiencing the fullness of what God has for us. And so the main reason Christians aren't progressing from newborn to infant to the very next stage is this. We don't attend church. We don't read our Bibles. We don't engage in the things of God. This one statistic says this. Of over 2 billion Christians in the world, less than 30% will ever read through the entire Bible. And so as Christians, we're buying into the fact that this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God, creator, father of everything. And he's presented his written word to us, and over 30% will not ever even read through it. That's profound. And can I tell you, that's the instruction book on what you need to do in your marriage to make your marriage right. and you'll go to Dr. Phil before Jesus. Why? Because it's on daytime television. You don't have to do anything. You go to TikTok, go to Instagram Reels for marital advice, but we have the Word of God presented to us that gives us a roadmap for healthy relationship, and we ignore it. We have the roadmap for freedom from addiction. It's in there. I'm telling you, read it. I can point it out to you all day long, that you can be free of things. And it's not some prosperity gospel. It's just God's word. But we ignore that. And we hang on to these things that are easy. Easy. We just don't know, and we don't grow. The fact is, over 82% of Christian Americans only read their Bibles on Sunday while in church. We just don't engage. We don't grow. And so we're going to talk about having this mindset of spiritual growth. And so we have a culture that puts results ahead of efforts. We like shortcuts, fast food, right? And we want all the benefits without any of the hard work. And I'm telling you, we have to work hard. We have to work hard to live out the results of our salvation. That salvation, the hand raise, that was the beginning. It wasn't the destination. That was the start of something. And God's wanting to see it through in your life, and we have to grow into it. You weren't meant to be bottle fed for the next 40 years. You just weren't. And so we want to grow towards the things of God. I'm gonna be in Hebrews basically all night tonight. Starting in Hebrews 5, verse 11, it says this. We don't know who wrote Hebrews for sure. Some say it was Paul, some say it was not. But it says this: there is much more we would like to say about it, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. If you ever wonder why I'm the way I am, I just see it in scripture, right? I mean, time and time again, these writers just tell it as it is. I would like to tell you more, but you're dense and stupid, is basically what he's saying. it's not what I'm saying to you, but he says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need somebody to teach you again and again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. I mean, is that a kick in the teeth or not, right? I mean, he's saying, listen, I would love to reveal more, but you're not putting in the work, right? And you need to be somebody who's mature, and mature people have training. I don't know if you've ever experienced like job training, but it's difficult, right? Effort was put into that. And so when we talk about things of eternity, which is our faith, right? This is not just a place to come and just to fellowship. And that's a part of it, right? To be a part of the body. But it's also to be trained, right? For what God's called us to. And effort should be placed on that. And again, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And then in chapter 6, so we're in 5, 13 through 14. In chapter 6, he goes on to say this: so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature. Say mature. Mature in our understanding, right? That's the goal. That's what he's saying. He said, let's not just stay here. Let's not be content not ever moving forward and being bottle fed for an hour on Sunday and an hour on Monday. That's not the destination, right? That's what he's saying. He's like, let's actually, through training, endeavor to grow and to be better and get some steak, right? And I don't know about you. I don't remember being bottle fed, but I've had steak, and I can't imagine that anything that goes in a bottle tastes anything like steak. And I want meat. I want meat, I want potatoes, right? And as I've kind of like tasted and seen that it's good, right? Man, a rare T-bone, it's just delicious. Nobody in their right mind would pick up the bottle again, right? And go back to formula, but that's kind of what we do. And we see this picture of what God has for us in his glory, right? And it's presented to us, and we see steak is good, and we pick up the bottle and go, this is easier. And the writer is saying, don't do that. Let us stop going over the basics about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. So what I want to do tonight is I want to unpack the next few passages. So he says that, bold, direct, gut punch, right? Don't be content in your infancy. Don't be content. Instead, move forward. And he's got some things that he says next, and that's what we want to look at. So moving forward, in verse 2 and 3, he says, you don't need further instructions about baptism, the laying on hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. And so God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. Now, some of you are still there. Some of you aren't even there, right? And that's okay. What's not okay is remaining there forever, right? That we should grow and we should move forward. And he goes on, for it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened and those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the power of the age to come, and who have turned away from God. It's impossible to bring such people back to repentance. By rejecting the Son of God, they themselves are nailing him to the cross once again and holding him up to public shame. And then in verse 7 and 8, he says, when the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. But if the field bears thorns and thistles, it's useless. The farmer will condemn that field and burn it. And the idea here, and this will kind of unpack point number one, right? The idea here in those last two passages is that growth and bearing fruit are important to keep us from falling away, right? And so when we're talking about spiritual growth, point number one is this: we need to work at making our lives good soil for the things of God. And that's where a lot of us miss it from the get-go. We show up to a service, we raise our hand, and then we go back to the same people, places, and things. And everything else in our life looks the way that it always looked, and we make no effort to change any of it. And you know what it is? It's things that are drowning out the seed of God. It's allowing thorns and thistles to grow up. And if we want maturity, the place that we really have to start is with all of this. We've got to make good ground, good soil in our lives so that the seed of God can actually take root, take hold, and begin to bear fruit in our lives instead of allowing thorns and thistles to grow up continuously to choke it all out. You know what that may mean? It may mean that you have to actually stop watching trash on TV all the time, right? And you're like, how does that relate to me not using drugs or having a better marriage? I'm just telling you, it does. It does. It does. You ever heard the term trash in, trash out? We have to, if we want to change everything about us, it's hard work, and you got to change everything about you, right? Don't be conformed to the customs and behaviors of this world. Instead, let God transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. And changing the way you think is changing the content coming in. Begin to create good soil for what God's doing if you want to grow. You may have to get rid of some friends. You may have to change some people in your lives. You may need to change jobs. You may need to make hard decisions. Maybe you're working every Sunday and you can't come to, you may need to find a new job. And that may sound extreme. Job's temporary. We're talking about the things that have eternal weight. And we should want to pursue them, right? So a mindset of growth means that we must work hard at making our lives good soil for the things of God. In John 15:5, he says, yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, Jesus is saying, you got to remain in me and we'll bear fruit together, right? As we stay in the word, stay in fellowship, right? And keep at this. Eventually, you make this a priority. The fruit that you desire is on the other side of hard work. And the problem is, if we don't get it instantly, right? If it didn't come in two-day prime, then we don't want it. And God's saying, it may be years. I can't even tell you the years that I prayed and pursued certain things in my life before even a glimmer of it began to come to pass. It's work. But on the other side of work is what God has for us. You know, there's a parable that Jesus shared in Luke chapter 8, 4 through 8. And it says, one day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. He says this, a farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across the field, some fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among the rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for the lack of moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up with it and choked out the other tender plants. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much had been planted. When he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should hear this and understand. If the things of God are not coming to pass in your life, one of the places you should look is the soil it's being planted in. Are you a rocky path? Are you allowing people in your life that shouldn't be there, and they're coming along and they're trampling on everything God's trying to do? We have to begin to evaluate, is my life fertile soil for the growth that God's trying to bring to pass? Again, point number one, work at making your life good soil for the things of God. He goes on in verse 9, he says, "Dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we don't really believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things and things that come with salvation." He says, "For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love for him by caring for other believers as you still do." And so number two, a mindset of growth means that we work hard at tending to what God has entrusted us with. And that's what he says, right? He will not forget how hard you've worked for him. We're not saved by works, right? But we work because we're saved. I don't know if you know that or understand that, but I want you to hear that tonight, right? What you do does not actually have bearing on your salvation. But we're not talking about salvation tonight. We're talking about spiritual growth, right? We get saved not by works, but by faith and grace. And then once we're saved, we work towards the things of God. That's spiritual growth. Works come after salvation. And that's what he's saying. He's saying God's not going to forget that. In fact, God honors that. And in fact, we should work hard at tending to the things that God's entrusted us with. It's stewardship. And through stewardship, right, handling what God has given us, little by little by little, God grows great things in our lives. Growth takes place. I look back just at ministry. Look, I mean, what God does here and what he allows me to steward as a leader here, I know I've said this, but it's still beyond me. I mean, God's taken an uneducated redneck that has no business telling anybody. Again, you guys have seen me try to do three-syllable words, right? It is painful. It's painful. And you might be wondering yourself, like, how did you get here? Who did you pay off, right? Who did you bribe to get a microphone on a Monday night? And I'm just telling you, it came through stewardship and handling small things for God, right? When I started stepping into the church, I taught little kids, three-year-olds, and I was faithful in it. I hated it. I hated those kids. If you had a kid in there with me, I didn't like your kid. I didn't like your kid. But I loved them. I loved them because God wanted me to love them. And I stewarded that. I took that seriously. And then God put me with kids. And I served under somebody younger than me. And that was difficult, right? I had more life experience. And I submitted that person. And I stewarded that in a way that showed that I could be trusted. And little by little by little, right, growth took place in my life and in the things that I get to handle. Not because I'm the smartest person. I'm not. Not because I'm the greatest speaker, because I'm not. It's just because I've just been faithful. It's just because I'm just faithful. I just want to be faithful, right? And growth comes through that. God wants to see that we can handle that. And again, we work hard at tending. If we want to grow, work hard at tending to what God has entrusted you with. You may not like it. You may be stuck in the three-year-old room right now, and you can't stand the things that God's asking you to deal with. Be faithful with it. And through that faithfulness, growth takes place. Spiritual growth and growth in what you get to handle. It's amazing. And they go hand in hand. As you mature more spiritually, God trusts you with more. And better things. And it's time and time again, we see this played out in our lives. And God will begin again to just do things in your life that you never thought he would do. And so again, work hard at tending what God has entrusted you with. In Matthew 25, 23, there's the the parable of the servants that were given different talents. And you guys know this, one was given one was given three, one was given five. And their master said, you know, I want you to go and this is yours, take care of it. The one with one hid it, and the one with three, he did a little bit with it, he got a little bit back. The one with five did more. And when the master came home, he wanted to account for what each had done with what they were given. And he rebuked, chastised, and punished the one who did nothing, right? He didn't steward it well. He just took it and held on to it. He didn't grow it, right? God calls us to grow things. And in fact, he ends up taking that one away and giving it to the one who had the most. But he says this in verse 23. He said, the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. This is to the one that actually took and multiplied what he had, not the one with one. Faithful in handling the small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. And at the end, in verse 29, he says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And so God has given each of us a gift. We've talked about this, right? You're gifted, even in your brokenness, right? And all of these things, God's entrusted you with something. And if you'll pursue it and use it, right, and do all of these things, work hard at it, God will grow you. And so many of the things that we want are on the other side of that. And maybe it's sobriety that you're after. I'm just telling you, man, if you steward things in your life well, if you steward the sober days well, I remember I started putting mine to use just in the church. I started not drinking later and later and later just to serve at the church. Amazing. And then one day I'm sober. I mean, when we take the things that we have that God's given us that maybe we struggle to have, we really honor God with it. God honors our faithfulness. God honors our faithfulness. And so the mindset of growth means that we're going to work hard at tending to what God has entrusted us with. In verse 11, he goes on, still in Hebrews, Hebrews 6, 11 through 12. He says, our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. I just want you to think about that statement. The writer says, our desire is that you'll love people as long as life lasts so that what you desire will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. That's a weird kind of jump. Love people, and then what you hope for will come true, and you won't become spiritually dull. Isn't that amazing that loving people is tied to spiritual growth and development and what we hope for in our lives? And he goes on and he says, instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promise because of their faith and endurance. Spiritual growth, I mean, it involves loving people. It involves serving people, right? And if we want to grow spiritually, maybe one of the roadblocks in your life is you make no investment in other people. You're selfish with your faith. It's personal. You're not engaged in any of the ministries here or even outside of these walls, right, in the kingdom. You make no effort to serve those around you. Can I tell you the thing that made the greatest impact on my spiritual growth was 6 years in kids ministry with fifth graders to first graders. Nothing that I did up to that point grew me more than that. 6 years with those monsters. I'm joking. I loved it. But it was the thing. And you're like, so what deep, profound thing were you guys covering? The basics. Talked about, you know, Noah's Ark and you know, those normal, typical Sunday school things. The depth that my relationship with Jesus grew. Going over the basics was so profound. Not because of that. Just his faithfulness, right? And loving on these kids and the things that they would do on the inside. I remember weeping with these kids. And just having my heart ripped out for them. And God did so much in that. And it's amazing. Loving people will do so much. And so a mindset of spiritual growth means we work hard at loving those around you like Jesus would. The hardest relationship I have today and second to the growth that I had with kids, right, is my marriage. Loving Janelle so hard, so hard. Not nearly as hard as it is for her to love me, but you know, it's funny. I think I've said this before, but and if you've ever done marital counseling or premarital counseling with us, you've probably heard me say this. It's the hardest relationship you'll ever have, but it's also the relationship that makes us look more like Jesus than any other thing. Because you talk about having to learn to turn the other cheek. Get married, right? Because, you know, cops are involved if I strike her. Can't do that, right? It's a no-go. And so I just have to learn, right? And she can't hit me either. We put that in the vows. And I'm not trying to make light of abuse. I should have made that joke. I'm probably going to get emailed later. I don't mean it that way. But it is just, it's difficult. It's difficult. We have to love each other in that relationship. And in all of this, God's placed people here that you probably don't like. And loving them make you look more, it grows us. And serving in places that are uncomfortable. People say, I don't want to serve with kids. I don't like kids. Good, that's the place. Uncomfortableness is where we grow. I don't want to serve with teenagers. I can't stand teenagers. Good, go serve with teenagers. That's where we grow, right? I mean, wherever it is, man. And maturity, this mindset of growth and maturity means that we work hard at loving those around us. If you're just hanging out with people that are easy to love, you're not growing. Not growing. If you're not pushing your kids into difficult situations where they have to work hard at relationships, they're not growing. They're not growing. We have this mindset in today's culture that if we don't agree on everything, then we reject those people, right? And that's not the case. We don't want to be of the world, but we do need to be in the world. God's called us to be. We need to be in difficult relationships so we can actually put to use the things that Scripture tells us. Like turn the other cheek, right? Like forgive 70 times 7. Those things. And if you're just always with easy people, you're not going to grow at all. And so again, a mindset of spiritual growth means that we work hard at loving those around us like Jesus did. 1 John 4:16 says, we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And if you want to get intimate with Jesus and the Creator, love people. Love people. Just love people. I want you to do this. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to spend a moment with God. And again, you know, when we go back to Romans, this is, you know, do not be conformed to this world, but let God transform you, to change in the way you think. And so what we want to do is we want to pray for that mindset. And so tonight, right, we want to seek a mindset of growth. And so where you're at tonight, right, with God, personally begin to seek after him, begin to pray, and just say, God, you know my heart. Lord, you know my mind. You know my thoughts. You know all of these things. And just ask him, Lord, help me to focus on spiritual growth. Lord, help me to have a mindset of growth in everything that I do. Lord, help me to pursue it. Help me to hunger for it. Just begin again to have that conversation with him and ask him, Lord, give me this mindset. God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the way you love us, the way you seek after us. God, the ways that you endeavor to change us. Help us to not be complacent. Help us to not be stubborn. God, when you press on those parts of our lives that you want to bring about growth and change to. Lord, help us to be soft at heart, to be malleable, and God, to not conform to culture, not not to conform to this broken world, but Lord, to look at you, to recognize the authority you are, and Lord, to conform our lives to you, to be image bearers, Lord. And we thank you that as we do this, God, that you will deal with, God, those pains, the trauma, the brokenness, the addiction. God, that you'll begin to do such a great work in our lives regarding all of those. So, Father, I just pray over those present tonight that they would hunger for spiritual growth, that they would hunger for change, they would hunger for you. And I thank you, God, that you're so faithful, that when we lean into you, you answer the call every time. And we thank you for these things, and we pray all of it in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen and amen. So what's the application? James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. And so because of that, we got some action steps tonight. Number one, have a mindset that is focused on growth. Ask God to change the way you think. And I know that's hard, right? We just want the easy way, right? We just want to be complacent and skate by, but have a mindset that pursues growth. Number two, take steps to identify the areas that God is attempting to grow you. It's been a part of a lot of this, but self-evaluation is so key. Into Psalms 139 tells us, you know, search me, God, test me, know my anxious thoughts, right? That should be a part of your prayer life, especially if you're endeavoring to grow, and you should be endeavoring to grow, right? And so identify those areas. And number three, work to develop those areas, especially when it's uncomfortable. Uncomfortableness is not always a red flag to run away. Sometimes it's an identification marker to say that's the place that you need to grow the most. And just begin to seek after this. And I'm telling you, I mean, God is faithful. God is faithful. When we abide in him, and him in us, we'll bear much fruit. We'll bear much fruit. And that's spiritual growth. All of this that we've talked about, and I get that you may not be a Christian, a Jesus follower, but it all centers around that relationship with him. And so if you're in here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's our starting point. That's our starting point. So I want to encourage you, if you've been on the fence, you've heard about this man for so long and you've never been bought in, I get it. I was you one time. I'm telling you, man, just cross the fence. Just cross the fence and commit. Commit to him. Just commit a year. And if you can wholeheartedly do all of this and lean 100% in, I'm just telling you, it'd be impossible for you to come back next year and tell me nothing happened in your life that was profound. So if you're in here and you're not a Christian, we want to give you an opportunity. And here in just a moment, we're going to have some people down front. Our prayers, if you want prayer, they're going to be underneath our screens here. And they would love to pray with you and for you so you can become a Jesus follower tonight. If you're in here and you've done that, you've gotten off track and you want to recommit, you can come back home. You can do that. And so our same offer stands. We would love to pray with you. Maybe you're in here tonight and God's just been pressing something, like saying, that right there, you need to let go of that. This is what I'm trying to deal with, right? God's saying that to you, and you need to come get a white chip. We want to encourage you to come do that. There's nothing profound about them. It's a piece of plastic, but it's that act of faith, right? Stepping out of our seats, being uncomfortable, and God honors that. And then lastly, if you just need prayer, we want to pray for you. And so for any of those things, to give your life to Jesus for the first time, to recommit, pick up a white chip or just receive prayer, we want to encourage you to step out of your seat and come down front. If everybody would, if you'd stand to your feet as we close in worship.